Brothers and sisters, it is a great blessing that we may be here this afternoon for a second time to join in worship of our Triune God. A particular welcome to all members, visitors and guests who have joined us this afternoon. May the preaching of the Gospel direct our hearts and minds in faith and trust to our Saviour Jesus Christ, and cause us to live our lives to the praise of Him. Consistory has the following announcements. You are hereby advised that Consistory wants to meet with the congregation tomorrow evening here in church. The meeting commences at 8 p.m. The topic for the evening are introduction of Synod reports in preparation for Synod Albany to be convened on the 14th of June. The second topic will be the China mission to be introduced by the few brothers of the Free Reformed Church of Kelmscott. And again, we just want to remind you that this meeting won't be live streamed. And then this Thursday, the 13th of May, we like to remember the Ascension of our Lord in the church service commencing at 7:30 p.m. This afternoon, we welcome Reverend S. Hart from our sister church in Melbourne to the pulpit. Before we commence this service, let us sing together from hymn 6, verse 1 and 2.
Sisters, it's a blessing and a privilege to be here with you again to worship the Lord together and to also be instructed by God's holy word. Please rise and let us begin our worship service together. Let us lift up our hearts unto the Lord, and we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. And receive God's greeting. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's continue to stand. We're going to sing together now from Psalm 84, stanzas 1 and 2.
Amen.
In Lord's 7 of the Heidelberg Catechism, we're asked if all men are saved by Christ just as they perished through Adam. And the answer given is no, only those who are saved by true faith are grafted into Christ and accept all his benefits. And another question then is, well, then what must the Christian believe? And the answer given is all that is promised us in the Gospel, which the articles of our Catholic and undoubted Christian faith teach us in a summary. Let us now then listen to that summary of the Christian faith, the summary of the teachings of the Holy Gospel, as that is indeed given to us in the Apostles' Creed. And following this, we'll sing together from Psalm 27, verse 2. This is the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Two psalms that we've been singing from in this service. Both times we could speak of our desire to be in your house, to be with your people, to praise you. This is a longing, O Heavenly Father, that we have, and it's a longing that we'd also do seek to have nurtured and to have grow in us also. But indeed, O Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is that we may be gathered together as we are again this afternoon. Just this past couple of weeks, we're reminded again of just how tenuous such gatherings such as this is at this point of time. And we know that there are many places in the world where your people are not able to be gathered as we are now, in full numbers, freely, without any mask or anything on. And we thank you for that. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunities which we have then to be gathered together, to grow together, to support one another, to be a blessing to one another. We do pray, Lord, for your people throughout the world where that is not possible now. We pray too for our sisters' churches also and our brothers and sisters there, and some of whom are really suffering and really struggling because of the ongoing lockdowns and the constantly having to go back to simply following a service or a sermon online. Father in heaven, we do pray that you'll comfort them and strengthen them. And this also may yet be a time in which your people will be gathered together, will be nurtured, and will be strengthened, rather than have it that disagreements and just a feeling of disconnection might drive people away from one another. Lord, may their hunger grow, just as it did for your servant David when he was in the wilderness, unable to go to the temple of the Lord, and how he thirsted after that. So, Lord, we pray that for our sisters, our sister churches, but we pray that for us too, and also for our own members here. That we do not take this opportunity for granted. We don't take this as something which is something we can either take or leave, but we see just how important and how blessed we are to be able to be with your people in your house. Father, we do pray that you'll bless us this afternoon as we once again open your word. And this time as we have it preached concerning what we confess, concerning the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessing that is ours to be a part of it. We pray, Heavenly Father, that your name may be praised through this and that we also may be strengthened in our faith and in our walk with you. We pray these things in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I've been asked to proclaim God's word to you concerning what we confess about the Holy Catholic Christian Church, as we confess that in the Apostles' Creed. In that connection, I'd like to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles, and we're going to read together from Matthew 16 and from Hebrews chapter 10. Our first scripture reading is from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 27. Matthew chapter 16, beginning of verse 13. Now when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Verse 21. From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done." So far, a reading from Matthew chapter 16, and let's turn to our second scripture reading, and that is from Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 11 to 39. Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 11. "And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he's perfected for all time those who have been sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," declares the Lord, "I will put my laws in their hearts and write on them on their minds." And then he adds, "I will remember their sins and lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Verse 19. "And therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and the living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, then no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment, and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay.' And again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Verse 32. "But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison. You joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." So, Father, reading from God's holy word, may we indeed be blessed by the reading from it. And let's sing together from Psalm 100, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. first and read from the Heidelberg Catechism from Lord's Day 21, which is on page 535-536 of your Book of Praise. I'd like to focus in my sermon on question answer 54 and 55, not 56, but we will read that together, and also for completeness sake. So this is now still an explanation of what we are called to believe and confess. This has to do with the Holy Catholic Christian Church and the communion of saints. Just as a, by the way, we'll find in our Book of Praise here that we do have what we confess concerning the Holy Catholic Christian Church, and the word Christian is in there in our Australian Book of Praise, which I understand should be coming later this year. We won't have the word Christian in there, I don't expect. That's simply because in our Free Reformed Church of Australia, the version of the Apostles' Creed, which was adopted many years ago, didn't have that word in there. Really, it makes no difference, in my opinion, one way or the other. It's just different readings of that, depending on where you come from and what age in which you were as well, where you were living in, that is. But indeed, it is a Christian church that we confess. Well, let's read this then. Question 54. What do you believe concerning the Holy Catholic Christian Church? I believe that the Son of God, out of the whole human race, from the beginning to the of the world to its end, gathers, defends, and preserves for himself, by his Spirit and Word, in the unity of the true faith, a church chosen to everlasting life. And I believe that I am and forever shall remain a living member of it. Question 55. What do you understand by the communion of saints? First, that believers all and everyone as members of Christ have communion with him and share in all his treasures and gifts. Second, that everyone is duty bound to use his gifts readily and cheerfully for the benefit and well-being of the other members. Question 56. What do you believe concerning the forgiveness of sins? I believe that God, because of Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins nor my sinful nature against which I have to struggle all my life, but will graciously grant me the righteousness of Christ, that I may never come into condemnation. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, in our secular calendar, this Sunday, this Lord's Day, May 9 is Mother's Day. It's a day or so which I'm sure many of us as families also have remembered in one way or another, to a greater or a lesser extent. And we gave thanks to our mothers, but particularly also we give thanks to our God for the gift of motherhood and for the gift of godly mothers in particular, and for the blessings also that many of us have received in godly mothers, knowing, although so, that in this broken, fallen world that has not always been the case, and also that in this broken world we also do have pain when it comes to family relations and also the relationship between mothers and fathers and their children. Nevertheless, in God's goodness and also in his wisdom, he sets us in families with a father and with a mother, and a father and mother who are also called to instruct us and to teach us in the ways of the Lord. Looking at this morning's sermon theme, I can imagine you would have had some instruction on that or so. But indeed, it's something for us to reflect on, also when it comes to what we think about the blessed role and privilege of motherhood. One of the most beautiful verses in the scriptures which speaks of the godly upbringing brought about by mothers would have to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, where the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's writing about Timothy's faith, and he says, I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you. And then he says this, which first of all dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that is in you as well. So Paul also notes the roles of his mother and of his grandmother, and he calls them by name, even as he reflects on the wonderful thing, the blessing and gift that was Timothy's, and that was his relationship with God. And indeed, when it comes to being a parent, to being a mother, and also to being a father, the most important task of all, and what we seek to do, is to raise our children in the fear of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6, you have those verses there of the Shema, as it's called. The Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then it says this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And as we hear these instructions, and knowing of the roles and relationships of parents with the children, and particularly also the mother with the children, how the mother very often is the one who spends the most time with her child, just how important it is that she listens to that, and that she indeed does bring up the child in the fear of the Lord. And children likewise are called to listen to this. Proverbs chapter 1. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. And so, the reason as to why God has given parents, and particularly godly parents, what God's plan for parenthood was and is that we as godly parents might raise our children in the fear of God's holy name. And that indeed, we do pray to God that he might bless that. And we do praise the Lord that he might also hear that, our prayers, and that our children may also not only get to know about Christ and to get to know about God, but to respond in faith. Ultimately, we do leave that with God. But he does call us to be faithful in this way. And I'm sure that each of you understand the call, the need for this. You understand why it is that when a child is baptized, your child is baptized, you will stand there and you will make that vow to say, yes, I will instruct this child and have this child instructed to the utmost of my ability. And yes, each one of us parents, we know and we experience our weakness and our failings. And when we go and look back at how we've parented our children, all of us would indeed have reason to think, why did I do what I did? And if only I knew then what I know now. And if only I could do it over again, and perhaps it would go differently. But we praise the Lord and we ask him to strengthen us. And even in our weaknesses, that God would use us also for our children, and they may get to know him and to love him. But this afternoon, there's one particular aspect of parenting. One particular aspect that as mothers, but also as fathers, when it comes to bringing up your children, I'd like you to think of in particular. And that has to do with your relationship with God's church. Have you ever thought that as you are called to instill in your children a love for God, and as you are there to teach your child about the Lord and his involvement in your life and what he's done in sending his son Jesus Christ to save us from our sin, and how we call them to a living faith in Christ and to live for him and to serve him with all our heart, soul and mind, that this includes a love for Christ's church, for his body? That's something that perhaps we don't think about so quickly. Is it something that you think about? Do you think about this for yourself? The need not only then to love Christ and to seek to walk in his ways, but to love his church. Do you also see the need to instill this love in the hearts of your children? And I'm not just speaking about the Catholic churches and the church of all times and all places, in a sense of the church out there. Sometimes we call it like the invisible church, just the fact that there is indeed a church of Christ. Right now, I'm speaking about this church. Assuming you're a member here in Southern River, this particular church in Southern River, which you're a member, which you come here every week again, is this a church that you love and recognize a need to love, and that you also instill and seek to instill in your children a love for this church? Perhaps you haven't thought about too much. Perhaps you've dismissed it as not important. Perhaps you think, well, so long as my children love Christ, that's all that matters. But where they go and what they do, well, that really doesn't matter at all. But it does matter. It matters. In the first place, because Christ says so. Because Christ indeed shows that he's the one who that he died for his church. It matters because Christ loves his church, and therefore we must love his churches also. And it matters because Christ has placed us here with these brothers and sisters in this community. And it matters because, and this is what we confess in Article 28 of our Belgian Confession, because we do confess that no one ought to withdraw from Christ's church content to be by himself, no matter what his status or standing may be. But all and everyone are obliged to join it and unite with it and maintaining the unity of the church. Now today, that's something which does come under tension. And I understand that those of you, all of you who are sitting here would be hearing these words with different thoughts in your minds. And some of you would also be reflecting on some of the pain and some of the hurt which you are experiencing now or you have experienced. And indeed, there is pain and there is hurt also when we gather together with the body of believers. But Christ also says, and this is what we read in Matthew chapter 16, if anyone desires to come after me, well, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And Jesus is not saying, but if that cross is a little bit too heavy, if it's just a bit too cumbersome, then by all means set aside to find an easier one. Nor is he saying, if the church is interfering with the life that you want to lead, the way how and what you want to do, if the people that you're meeting in church are just not quite your type of folk, well, that's okay, you can just go out and do whatever. He doesn't say that. But we are called indeed to be joined to Christ's church and to maintain the unity and to grow together. Yes, when all is well, but also when time is not. In the Apostles' Creed, we confess, I believe a holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints. We confess that as members of Christ, we are and forever shall remain living members of his church. And as members of Christ, we belong to a community of saints, a community that lives together, a community that works together, a community that loves one another, and a community that together is chosen to everlasting life. And so I preach to you God's word this afternoon. This is my theme: forever to remain a living member of Christ's church. Forever to remain a living member of Christ's church. 2 points. First, a cherished community. And secondly, a committed community. Now, when our children are born, they're born into a family with a dad and mum, and most commonly, and that's the way that God had planned it. But not only are they born into a family, but they are also born into the family of God. This is what we confess in Lord's Day 27 of our Heidelberg Catechism, that we believe that infants as well as adults belong to God's covenant and his congregation. And so right from the very beginning, each of our little ones, we consider them to be part of our church community, part of our church family. They've got a place here. They belong here. And this is something for us to know and to experience and to acknowledge as well. And there's something else which is interesting too that we hear very often, and that has to do with the form for marriage. It strikes me every time I hear this. In a prayer, at the time of marriage, we would have prayed for you, should you be married in the church here, we would have prayed for you, and also for the children that you might receive. And this is what we pray at the time of marriage. If it should please you to give them children, confirm your covenant to them and to their seed. All right, and this also has to do with confirming the covenant and through baptism. And grant that they may nurture these children in the fear of the Lord, to the glory of your name, and to the edification of the church. Do you hear that? So in a time of praying, in a time of when you're married, we're actually praying that should you be blessed with children, as you bring up these children, you'll bring them up in such a way that they might also be a blessing to the church of which they'll be born into. And so as our children grow up, we want them to understand this. We want them to understand not only that they belong to God in the sense of part of His covenant, He's the God and they are His children, but they are part of a community. And we want to come to the point, and we pray that they'll come to the point that they'll profess their faith in the community. And then also be ready to firmly resolve to commit the whole life to the Lord's service as a living member of His church. Now that does beg the question, of course, does that include a love for this church and this church of which you're a member? And you may ask also, well, in light of Laws Act 21, how then does it all fit in with the categories there that what do you believe concerning a Catholic church? And Catholic, we're not talking about Roman Catholic here, this is the little C Catholic, and this is the word which is so important because it speaks about the fact that we belong to that church of all times. It's from the beginning of the creation of the world to the end, as our catechism puts it. It's throughout the world. We are part of that worldwide body of Christ. That's the church, and that indeed is part of what we are and what we dearly want our children to be part of as well. But some of us, when we think in these sorts of terms, we just think, well, maybe that's all that matters. And it's particularly when we are challenged within our own church community that we begin to think this way. Because our church, and I'm sure your church here in Southern Rivers, or your church, I'm sure, has problems. I'm sure that this church or so has some less than perfect members, some less than perfect leaders, some less than perfect functioning. And sometimes you're hurt, sometimes you're frustrated, sometimes you're disappointed, sometimes you feel as though you have been... you feel very broken also when it comes to some of the conflict and different things you would experience in church. And there are times when you may even wonder yourself, do I really want to be part of this? Is this what it's all about? Surely there's something better. And indeed, for as long as we just think of a church in these human eyes of the community where we do indeed have these issues and difficulties amongst each other, we see our church is no more than a group of people, some of whom we like and some of whom we don't. There's a lot to be negative about. There's a lot to criticize about. And there's many faults to point out. And sometimes that will lead us to it with a conclusion of, well, a love for God, that is absolutely necessary. But a love for our brothers and sisters, a love for a church, yes, a love for this community, for this church, well, that's negotiable. That's really not so important after all. Now, of course, we'd agree we've got to love one another. But how we love one another and even who we love, we think, doesn't really matter so much for our salvation. Love for the community is a good thing for us, but it's not high on our list of priorities. It's not of such great significance. Personal relationship with God, that's what matters. Relationship with the brothers and sisters, that's a distant second. But if we're thinking that way, we need to go back to ask ourselves, but what is this church that Christ has loved? What is the connection between this local community in Southern River and the community of which we're a part of then, and the community of the redeemed as we're going to be there on the last day? Standing before the throne of God with people of all tongues, all places, all languages and so forth. Can we be part of one community and not part of another? That's something important for us to think about, particularly if this is the community in which we're a part. We read together from Matthew 16. Our Lord Jesus Christ asked the disciples who they believed he was. Simon Peter answers Jesus, and he says this in Matthew 16, verse 16. Simon says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus says to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, that is, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you, I will tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." On this rock, he says, I will build my church. In other words, the Lord Jesus is saying, on you, Peter, I am going to build my church through your ministry and through the ministry of other apostles. I'm going to gather, I'm going to defend, I'm going to preserve myself, a church chosen to everlasting life. And it was indeed then to Peter and to the apostles that God, that Jesus gave the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Keys we understand to be the right use of the preaching of the gospel, the right use of church discipline. So that through their ministry, the kingdom of heaven might be opened and it might be closed. And so when the apostles went out, they not only went out to make individual disciples, but they went out to gather these disciples into local churches, and to be formed into local churches. And it was to the elders of these local churches that they were given them those keys of the kingdom of heaven to exercise the preaching, the use of discipline also. And also, it was to one of these churches that, in this case, the Apostle Paul went out and established under the blessing of the Lord, the church in Ephesus, that Paul could say in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, he said to the elders of the church of Ephesus, he said, "Take heed to yourselves, watch out for yourselves, and to all the flock amongst whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." And this is something which is striking. This is something which we really need to think about very clearly. Concerning this church in Ephesus, it says very clearly that Paul says very clearly that Christ had purchased this specific church in Ephesus with his own blood. And, this is the point here, that is then how the elders of that church were to view this church of which they were to be overseers. This is not just a group of people, some are family and some are not, some are rich and some are poor, some are black and some are white. Some are nice to get along with and friendly and some are not. Some like fishing and some like golf. No, that's not what it's all about. This indeed is a community which has been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how they would see this church. And what a message to give to the elders of that church, the office bearers of the church, probably more than anybody else, and I'm sure that's the same here in Southern River, the office bearers of the church, probably more than anybody else, they see really what's going on in a congregation. Any elder will say, it's quite an eye-opener to be sitting there at those meetings and to hear everything's going on. Yes, many good things and wonderful blessings and so forth, which sometimes you don't hear when you're sitting in the pew, so to speak. But also so many concerns, so much sin, so much weakness. You very quickly get to feel that this church, it's vulnerable. It's only one small step away from breaking up and disappearing altogether. There's so much sin, there's so much weakness, there's so much sadness, there's so much trials. And then we can become disappointed and tired. But Christ says, he says, don't look at the church this way. Remember, this is the church that I purchased with my own blood. This is the church I willingly went to the cross to die for. I, the Lord, your Savior, I went to the cross to die for a group of disciples who would deny me and leave me to die all alone. I went to die for a group of disciples who at that time were bickering and fighting over who would be the greatest in my kingdom. I went to the cross to die for the church like Ephesus, a church that later on would be talked about in Revelation chapter 2 as a church that lost its first love. Jesus would say, I went to the cross for a church as that in Corinth, of the Galatians, of the Ephesians. And so I went to the cross that I might gather and defend and preserve myself. A church chosen to everlasting life. And our Lord Jesus Christ in this context also does say, I went to gather to the cross to die for this church here in Southern River. The church of which you remember. You see, this is the value that Christ places on his church. And that's the value that Christ places on this church here in Southern River. For all its faults, for all its weaknesses, since this church is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, let's embrace this church of which we're blessed to be a part. Love it, cherish it, as Christ embraces the church, as he cherishes it, enough to die for. And And then let's work on cultivating such a love for Christ Church in our families, also with our children. Let's teach our children, yes, to love the Lord. Yes, to know the gospel. Yes, to embrace the gospel, what it means to be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Let that be the central part of the teaching that we're seeking to direct our children to, so they might understand this and embrace this and pray for this. But even as we do so, let our children not just love the Lord, but let them also learn to love His church. Yes, let them love His church as it will be on the last day in perfection. But let them also learn to love His church as it is today, with all its weaknesses and its blemishes, its failings and its difficulties. And let us all do the same, realizing we need to love and to cherish this communion of Christ, of which we may be a part. You see, the Bible never tells us that your active membership in your local church isn't really so important. The only thing that matters is that you're part of the heavenly Jerusalem. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible never tells you that it's okay to drift through life like a rolling stone, never really committing anywhere, just bumbling along and just drifting through life, thinking one day I'm just going to get to heaven and then I'll be okay. As if I don't need to be committed to His church here. The Bible also doesn't teach us that just listening to a sermon online or to read a blog here or there, that's all that you need to do. Yes, you can learn a lot from things online, and even reading blogs and so forth can be very helpful. But ultimately, that's not where Christ calls us to be and to drink from His word week by week. The Bible never tells us that it doesn't matter for you not to be engaged in a part of a local body of believers. You see, when the Apostles' Creed also says, I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, we need to see these two things as one. The Holy Catholic Church is the communion of saints. And to be a part of the church of all times and all places is to be a part of the church in this time and in this place. A love for God, a love for His church goes hand in hand. The Bible teaches, in fact, it's impossible. It is impossible to have a love for God and at the same time not to have a love for the community of God, for His church. John 13:35, by this all men will know that you are My disciples if you love one another. Romans 13:8, owe no one anything except to love one another. He who loves one another has fulfilled the law. 1 John 3:14. We know we pass from death to life because we love the brethren, their brothers. He who does not love his brother abides in death. And so love for God and love for the community of God, it goes hand in hand. As we draw near to God in Jesus Christ, we not only live in love with Him, but we also learn to love one another. Because when we become one in Christ, we also at the same time we become one with the body of Christ. Now don't get me wrong. This does not mean that there's never a time to be critical of the church of which you're a member. Since the church belongs to Christ and since He purchased it at such a high price, we must value the church to such an extent that we want this church to reflect the beauty of Christ more and more. And therefore we should be jealous for the holiness of this church. We should be eager to see this church grow in love, in truth, in godliness. We want to see this church grow in its witness to the world and with respect to mission, to evangelism, to be a church that's inside out, so to speak. We want this to be a place where people can come so they can hear the gospel, so they can hear what it means to be saved in Jesus Christ and to rejoice in Christ, and together we may embrace one another in this and just delight in what we have in Christ. But we love the church in the way that Christ Himself loves His church. And yes, we love this church even as we love Christ. And we pray for the good and the growth and the holiness and the witness of Christ's church, that we might live out of who we are in Christ. I do need to go on to my second point, that is a committed community. Matthew 16, verse 24, our Lord Jesus Christ said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now, when Jesus said this, he knew that the commitment expected of his disciples and his followers, it was great. In these words, our Lord is calling us to stop living for ourselves, to live for him, to follow him in the way that he went. And when it comes to us belonging to his church, this does also mean we must love his church even as Christ loves his church. That we, and this is to use the words of Article 28 of a Belgian Confession, that we submit ourselves to its instruction and discipline, that we bend our necks under the yoke of Christ, that we serve the edification or the building up of the brothers and sisters according to the talents that God has given to us as members of the same body. The Lord has joined us to one another in this church so that our commitment to him may be displayed in our commitment to one another. And so, to forever remain a living member of Christ's church, which is the heading for this sermon, that means that our love for Christ's church flows over into seeking the good of his church. You see, growing in Christ, it's not just something between you and God. The Lord calls you and he wants you to grow in him in the context of his church, both for your good and also for the well-being of the other church members. We read together, Hebrews chapter 10, well-known Bible passage when it comes to these things. Verse 24, 25. "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." And so as we come together as Christ's church, we must stir one another up to love and to good works and so forth, and to call one another to holy living and encourage one another to meet together. Coming to church has everything then to do with coming to be with one another and building one another up in the faith. Church is not simply a place to go in order to come to listen to a sermon and then to go out again and to do your own thing. But rather to come together as the church is to come together as the body of Christ, to be engaged in and with the body in Christ. If you love Jesus, you're going to have to learn to love his people. You're going to have to learn to love his church. And therefore, as we confess in Lord's Day 21 of the Catechism, answer 55, everyone is duty-bound to use his gifts readily, cheerfully, for the benefit, for the well-being of the other members. And that's what we're called to do. So now, what does it mean in practice? A couple of things here. In the first place, if you're not a member of this church, if you're not a member of any true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I encourage you, I implore you to prayerfully consider this and think about it very carefully. Consider what the Bible has to say about this. Recognize the need to belong, to be committed, to be bonded, to be covenanted to Christ's church. It's not enough for you to simply drift from church to church. It's not even enough for you to simply to attend a church without any intention of joining. But seek to be a member of his church for the glory of God, in obedience to him. Yes, for your spiritual well-being, and that you might be a blessing to this church here in Southern River also. But while formal membership is important, of course, there's a lot more to say. To be a committed community is not just to belong together, but also to come together. So I encourage you to be in town as much as you can. Yes, to be here as much as you can. As we encourage one another not to neglect meeting together, as is the habit of some, we're also encouraging each other to actually be here to meet one another face to face. And so, do what you can to be here regularly. Sunday after Sunday, week after week, wherever that's possible. Yes, I realize that there are different circumstances, different families, and different that you are not always able to be here at every service. But you are called here, and your consistory does call you here to meet in accordance with the command of Christ himself. And it's not a call for us to take lightly, but it's a call that we must listen to and respond to also. And so let's consider that. Let's remember that the price that was paid for us to be able to come together and to enter the Lord's presence as His church was the great sacrifice, the suffering, and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's no small thing then that we can be here together in this building and this church and worship God and to hear His word. Christ is the one who through His Spirit brings us into community, and He's the one who's calling us to come together for worship. And therefore we need to make every greatest effort to use this privilege to come together as the people of God. And let's encourage our brothers and sisters also to share in the same blessings. If you truly love God, you would love your brother. You would love your sister in the faith. Yes, also in the same church. And you do what you can to meet with God and to meet with your brothers and sisters in God's house. And yes, I know there are a lot of other Christians in this world. And yes, I know that also here in Australia, West Australia or so, there are a lot of other churches which are preaching. And also, I'm sure, preaching a good, clear gospel message, and where there are believers gathering together weekly to hear that gospel message. Certainly within our own sister churches, I have reason to believe that's beyond that also. But ultimately, let us remember and reflect on where God has placed us and where we are. And what that means for us every Sunday again. If God has joined you and placed you into this family of Christians, in this local church, should you not be here with your Christians in this place as much as you are able? Now, I know that's hard for some of you. And I know that some of you would not be feeling as part of this community as you would like. And I know that there are times, and I'm sure there are times of pretty much every single one of you, there are times and sometimes months and sometimes even years in which you're going to struggle. When that cross feels pretty heavy, when you're frustrated, when you're disenchanted, when we feel hurt, when you feel bruised. But let us be careful in also in these times or so. Let us submit ourselves also to the discipline of God. In such circumstances, where God is using these things, yes, He's even using sin, even using the sin of others, to mold us and to shape us and to bring us closer, ever closer to the throne room of God, where we may reflect on the face of God and to see the beauty and the wonder of the gospel of grace given to us by Him. A natural tendency when things go hard and things go wrong, a natural tendency is to drift off, to disconnect, to reduce our ongoing commitment to the church community, to reduce our involvement. But if you do that, and if you stop coming together, if you stop meeting with your brothers and sisters, if you don't have that chance to catch up to see how someone else is going, if you choose not to have that cup of coffee, if you don't attend your meetings, if you don't join in with Bible study, if you're always too disinterested or too busy to join in with various social activities that take place, if you're not really engaged, and particularly if you're not praying for this church, well then don't be surprised if your connection to this church does wane, it does weaken, and in a way in which is not healthy and it's not appropriate. And so here's a suggestion for you. When church is over, not just today, but also next week, week after, don't just rush off to your car. Don't just drift off to the same little group that you're used to. Don't seek out people that you might be able to complain about weird things. But consider prayerfully beforehand how you will indeed engage with the Church of Christ. To speak about this also in your family as well. What can we do? How can we act? How can we behave as a church and in this church? And what about after church? Let's make a thing of it. That we'll actually get out and we'll meet and we'll speak to someone we haven't spoken to for a while. It may feel strange. It may feel a bit weird at first. But the Lord will bless this. And you will be able to seek out to reach out for others. And you will also grow together as you use your gifts also for them. If you haven't been in Bible study, you haven't joined for fellowship, or if you haven't met with someone for weeks, for months, and perhaps even years, give it a go. Or maybe contact someone that you know who is involved and say, yeah, I just don't know how to do this anymore, and can I just come along with you this time? Or reach out to someone who you haven't seen for a while and ask them to come along and get involved and be joined and sit together and pray together and read God's word together and fellowship together. And pray that the Lord may bless this. And do the same for your children. My children have, from time to time, some of them, struggled in different churches and different places, different reasons. There's all sorts of reasons for that. From friends, to lack of friends, to having friends somewhere else, to just not really getting what's going on, to thinking there's other things to do. There's all sorts of reasons. Some of our children would be very delighted and love to get involved in everything which is going on, and others will hold back. Well, let's encourage our children. Let's do what we can. First of all, in the way that we speak about the church, in the way that we interact with church, that they see that we truly do love the body of Christ. And then let's also encourage our children to do the same. And send them and encourage them also to participate in the communion of saints. And then finally pray. Pray for this church, pray for the members, and don't just sit in judgment or disdain, but seek the well-being of others. Now, it's not easy, it never was easy, to be engaged in the community of Christ Church and to exhort one another to love and good works. To be a committed community and to love the communion of saints and to encourage each other, it is challenging. Conflict, discouragement, host of other challenges can be expected. Sometimes we will become weary in doing good. Sometimes it will be hard to drag ourselves away from the things of this world, from the things that we want to do. And if you're not in the habit of looking out for others and talking to them, encouraging them, you're going to find it hard at first. You may find it awkward. If you're not used to inviting people into your homes, you're going to be nervous at first. You won't know how to do this. If you haven't been to Bible study for some time, it will take a while to get into the habit. If you haven't involved yourself, you've been in the sidelines, you're going to have some fears about how you're going to be seen and perceived. But be committed to this church. Encourage others also in their commitment, and let's all seek to be engaged as part of the communion of saints, and use your gifts readily and cheerfully, and God will bless you in this. And do it. As Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25, it also says, do it as much as more and more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Because God's day, the day of the Lord, the day of Christ's return, is coming near. And then it's going to be too late to spur one another to love and good works. So let's live together as the church of Christ today in anticipation of being a part of the body of Christ forever. And let's hold fast to the confession of our hope. Let's not waver, and let us know that He who promised is faithful. Let's look forward then to the day when the church, the bride of Christ, it will finally be presented before to the Lord, and it will be purified, and then it will be perfect. And then we will enjoy the full and complete presence of God, in the presence of His people. And then we will fully be one with Him in love, and we'll be joined to Him and to His people forever. That's what we look forward to, even as we worship Him here in Southern River today, and how good that day will be. Amen. Well, let's sing together from our book of praise and response. We'll sing from Psalm 122, verse 1, 2, and 3. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we've been reminded again of the blessing that is ours to be united to Christ by faith, and where He is the head and where we are the members. We've been reminded again of the blessing that is ours, that we may then be gathered into His body, into His church. And we've been reminded again of the blessing, but also of the call for us to forever be a living member of Christ's church. May we indeed see this as a cherished community. First of all, a community that is cherished by Christ Himself, but then also a community that we cherish individually and together. May we also see this as a committed community. First of all, a community which Christ is committed to, but then also a community that we are committed to one another also. Father, we live in a world of weakness and of sin and of shortcoming. And yes, even in Your church, we do experience these things. O Lord, lift us up. Cause us to lift our eyes to Christ, seated at the right hand of God. And cause us then to live out of the gospel of grace and out of a knowledge of belonging to Him. And then this way also, we may also then seek our brothers and sisters and the well-being of them and of Your people. Father, bless us and bless this church also in this coming week, as we get together tomorrow evening for our meeting, our congregation meeting, as we get together on Thursday also to remember the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless our pastor, strengthen him also in his task in this congregation also. And Father, do bless us and also those amongst us. We've got a lot of pain within this church, and also pain in our families, and also when things haven't gone well. Lord, comfort and strengthen us. Forgive us where we've done wrong, and cause us to look to Christ, and also that we may be comforted by one another. Bless also sister churches, and Lord, we do pray for our sister churches in Sumba. We particularly pray for them at this time, because many of the churches there, and in Savo and Timor, that they've experienced such devastation with the cyclone Seroja which went through there. Father in heaven, we do pray that You'll be near to them, You'll bless them, and bless also the support that we may give, and pray, Lord, that it may indeed be a blessing to them as they also rebuild that which is blown down. Also pray, Lord, that the church there may be strengthened, even in the time of the coronavirus hits. Bless us, we pray, in the remainder of this day and also in this week, and hear us in Christ's name. Amen. You do have the option to give your thank offerings to the Lord. We have a collection for Needy and Sumba, and following this we'll sing from Psalm 84, verse 5 and 6. Thank you. Let us lift up our hearts unto the Lord to receive his blessing and to go in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.